He wiped his sweaty palms on his jeans and opened the phone. On it was another message from his son. It said one word, a word so powerful he nearly hurled. Help! James had to force himself to remain calm. He could tell the cabbie to speed up, but it wouldn't change anything. The entrance to the park was coming into view on the left. He perked up, head on a swivel, checking for Rebecca and Junior, perhaps walking toward their car or hiking out on one of the trails. Like he'd be so lucky. Instead, he was heartbroken to see that the parking lot was empty except for a fleet of Forest Ranger trucks parked behind the circular visitor center. The cabbie came up alongside the brown building with long, thin windows and a large wood carving of a tree mounted on its face. There was a wraparound awning across the backside that overlooked a scenic valley used for events and could even be rented. Why anyone would want to rent out space in the world's smelliest forest, he didn't know. There were a series of smaller buildings in a line matching the brown wood exterior. Also carved into a large plaque on the side were labels identifying their usage as storage, a spare office, and equipment. James pulled the three largest bills from his wallet and handed them through the window. Keep the change. He wasn't sure how much the tab was. Truthfully, he didn't care. He needed to go. There were more pressing things at hand. He swept the bag over his shoulder and left the cab behind, then followed the sidewalk inside. Dimly lit with a vast ceiling, the large, theater-like room gave his footsteps an echo. At the far end of the building, he found a young girl sitting behind a desk with a digital music player in her hands and large headphones covering her ears. She didn't look up. James quickly grabbed a day pass from the rack on the counter, scribbled his name on it, and slid it over so it fell into her lap. She glanced up, annoyed, and intentionally took her time looking over his information before dropping her headphones around her neck. Day passes are good until 5. It's 5:15. That's fine. How much for an overnight? We don't sell overnights after 5. You'll have to come back tomorrow. James's face grew hot, and he leaned over the counter a bit. I need to get into the park. My wife and kid are up there, and your useless people said they can't find them. Check the log. They were supposed to be back by noon today. The young woman, unimpressed, repeated the same statement in an even more monotone voice, her eyes dull. It's 5:15. James couldn't help but raise his voice. I don't care what fucking time it is. Screw the pass. I'll be heading toward these coordinates. He scribbled them down from his phone onto his pass. Looking for my wife. I'll deal with the fine later. You can't do that, sir.
Ugh, listen.
He glared at her badge. Ellie, tell your useless manager where I'm at. Maybe he'll send someone who actually knows what they're doing. Is there a problem? A familiar voice called from behind him. James turned to see none other than Arnie. If he didn't have to find Rebecca and Junior and had more bail money, he would have clocked him on the spot. He waddled up, arms crossed on his fat belly, looking amused at the spectacle. He smiled, stretching his pockmarked skin, temporarily hiding the blemishes from years of picking at acne. I don't have time for you, James said, turning on his heels and preparing to brush by him. Now then, Ellie said you can't come into the park. If that means I have to kick your ass again and send you packing, this time for trespassing, I will. James could tell he was relishing the temporary bout of power. He contemplated knocking him out and heading into the forest anyway. That would surely draw the cops and help him find his family sooner, he hoped. He was sober now, making the fight more likely to spin in his favor if he struck first. Arnie was heavy and clumsy, but James could take a hit, despite not actually knowing how to fight.